may be able to put it to work in our lives, Lord, so that maybe making a difference in us, and we may be able to receive everything that you want us to have. We just acknowledge, Lord, that everything that we need for life and godliness, you have already provided. That we have it, the only thing we have to do is to be able to, Lord, appropriate it and make it real for us, make it manifested in our lives. We know that this is your will, and it's not that you are holding back anything from us. It's that we are too unable to receive sometime because of ignorance. Let us, Lord, understand and receive and appropriate everything you've done in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So last week, I think I finished with, and I closed with, talking about stirring up the Holy Spirit. And really, you know, what the prayer I was just saying a few seconds ago about that we have already everything that we need for life and godliness. It was said in the, you know, prophetic statement. It was said in, Second Peter chapter 1. You know, we have everything we need for life and godliness. But still, so many Christians are just in a position of, you know, lacking, the position of needing, of neediness. And this is not God's plan. This is not God's best. God's plan is for us to have everything we need because he has provided it already. And because he has provided it, then what is lacking is not him. He's not holding back anything. It's that we are not getting what is there. The Holy Spirit is in us. That means the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that can do anything, anywhere, anyhow. I mean, it's God. So there shouldn't be any limit on what we can receive. But there are limits anyway because of our ignorance, mostly. Lack of understanding. See, by the knowledge of him, says in 2 Peter chapter 1. See, so the knowledge that Jesus had enabled him to operate and to manifest the Holy Spirit at will whenever it was needed and whenever, you know, the situation was that there was something that needed to take in place. Now, God's plan is for us to become like him. This is his desire. This is what he wants to do. But we have to get to the place in which we have the understanding and we can move in the way Jesus moved. So really, the stirring up of the gifts, stirring up of the Holy Spirit inside us is a critical part of us being able to receive and appropriate everything that God has done for us. And that's the thing we had to learn. See, that's the difference between the gifts and the way Jesus operated. I mean, Jesus didn't need to depend on the gifts. You know, just every time that somebody needs healing, be healed. Or, so, there was not that limit. See, this is why gifts are for young believers. For believers that are not developed yet, that are carnal believers yet. Because they need to that little bit of help that the Holy Spirit in his goodness that gives them to be able to break through and help them in situations. That's not the way I've been seen in the past, but this is really the situation that what really see. If you remember, you know, 1 Corinthians was written for carnal Christians. They manifested gifts more than anybody else. Okay? But Paul felt that he had to do some teaching about it because they really were probably evidently misusing them. Okay. But the thing is, they were operating in the gifts and didn't say that it was fake or was false what they were doing. It just said, you know, you had to control yourself and you had to do it the right way. There has to be order in the thing. But that's not the ultimatum for us to manifest. You know, it's not the best. The best is to be full with the Holy Spirit and operating by the power of the Holy Spirit all the time. But to do that, we have to have the understanding on how to activate the Holy Spirit. So that it's not anymore as it happens, but as is needed. When it's needed, is there to help us. This is what it means, he's the helper. He's there to help us whenever we need it. It was like that for Jesus, wasn't it? We're supposed to be like him, don't we? So if we're supposed to be like him, that's what we, you know, where we had to aim to, where we want to go to, is to become like him. And you do that through the understanding, as explained in 2 Peter chapter 1, you know, his understanding. And what we see that, and as we experience, is the more we're understanding grows, the more we can operate that way. More regular, the results that we get are going to become. All right, so engaging the Holy Spirit, that's what I'm talking about. As we activate, as we, you know, stir up the gift within us. Now, there are a number of things that we could talk about that, but they're going to come a bit at a time. See, one of the things that we have to understand is as we are born again, evidently, if you're not born again, forget it. Okay? You have to be born again and spirit-filled. This is the basis on which we start. If you're born again, it's good. You're already in the way. But, you know, Jesus evidently said, if you want to be really effective in ministry or whatever, you need to be spirit-filled. And he made it such a way that we could do the work that he did and even greater works because he was going to the Father and he was sending the Holy Spirit to us so that we could do what he did. Amen. All right? So that has to be our expectation. This has to be the way we think. Okay? So if we, for example, see, the key thing for us to move in that direction, okay, is understanding what Paul talks about when he talks about being in Christ. Being in Christ means, you know, that we are connected with him. See, evidently you had to be born again, and not only, you see, lots of people are born again, but sometimes are really walking in the flesh. So when you walk in the flesh, you are not in Christ. Would you agree with that? Okay, when you are walking in Christ, that means that, you know, the Spirit of Christ is operating in you and is manifesting in the way you act, you think, you do, you work, and whatever you are doing. Okay, so going to, you know, your life in Christ is critical for moving in that direction. The understanding of what it means, the understanding of what implies, the way it involves us, our activity, the way we respond to that. And it starts with Romans chapter 8, verse 2, when it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So you see, the law of the Spirit, when our life is in Christ Jesus, we are free from all the other stuff that was there before. See, but we had to realize that, you know, it's the life in Christ Jesus that makes us free. Amen. When we do not operate in that dimension, if you want, then we are not going to be free. We are going to be bound by the thinking, the whatever it is that is affecting us, the way we interpret things, the way we act, the way our habits may have been, or whatever it is. You see, we had to realize the importance of us living our life in Christ Jesus. Now, there are lots of implications of that, you know, and I would just talk forever. And we are going to expand on this because of the in the future and even more. But really, in even in Romans chapter 8, talks quite a bit about that. For example, in verse 13, there is an expansion of that concept. It says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." Now, he's not talking about, evidently here, he's not talking about physical death here. He's talking about the spiritual impact. If you are acting and operating according to the dictates of your flesh, it's going to have an effect on your spirit. And if you let it grow and run, you are going to have, falling off. You're going to lose what you got. So much for, once saved, always saved. I mean, this is clear, isn't it? All right. "But if by the Spirit of, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Hallelujah. You see, so by the Spirit, or see, the Spirit inside you, you see, the Holy Spirit, one of the contribution, one of the elements it produces in you is direction, giving you direction, giving you understanding of what to do and what not to do. So said, if you by the Spirit you put to death the deed of the flesh or the deed of the body, you will live. So you see, there is a direction there coming to you saying, no, don't do this, do these other things. So one of the characteristics of the impact of the Holy Spirit in us is to direct us to deal with the things of the flesh and to cut them off. Okay? So that we may live with the life of Christ in us. May start to have that, the life in Christ Jesus be give us, this law of the Spirit, that the law of the Spirit gives us all the benefit of having the Holy Spirit inside us. You see, we start operating on a spiritual level instead of a carnal and physical level. All right. So provide the direction. But providing the direction is not enough. We have to believe what he's telling us. We have to believe that the Holy Spirit, we have to take action on what he tells us to do. Because otherwise, it doesn't make any difference. He's not going to talk without being heard. After a while, he doesn't even talk anymore. All right. For it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." You see, what he's talking about here is a manifestation of God's power inside us because we are led by the Spirit of God. So as we obey the direction and as we are learning to listen to him and as we are allowing his life to control us and to cut off the flesh side and to enhance or develop us in the spiritual dimension, then we are becoming manifested sons of God. So we can do the things that God said we would do. See, this is what everybody, the whole nature waits on. This is the final outcome of what Jesus did. And we aren't there yet, but we want to move in that direction. And we are going to move in that direction only when we start seeing that this is what God expects from us. And we can start responding to the way he interacts with us to move us in that direction. Do you see that? Important. So the important thing is, if you go around saying you are sinners saved by grace, forget it. You are not really going to manifest things because all you're focusing on is what it was in the past. Jesus said, greater work than this shall you do. I mean, that has to be our expectation. This has to be what we want see ourselves doing, even if we are not doing it yet, because by faith we want to be there and we are moving toward that direction. Amen? All right. So for as many as are Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Okay, that means you're going to manifest that. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. You see, that's the relationship that is going to come from us, in us, when we start moving in that direction. I mean, we start dealing with God as our daddy. And we love our daddy rather than being afraid of him. Because he's there to minister to us and through us and to manifest what he wants to do with us. So we had to respond. As we respond, then you say, you know, I don't feel loved by God. Well, you're evidently not moving in the spirit, you're moving in the flesh. Okay, not only that, but you see, by moving in the spirit, that you are going to feel and receive and appropriate God's love. That, see, there should be no fear in us, no fear of anything. Hallelujah. See, the love of God, trusting God. See, that's the spirit of adoption. The coming upon us should make us trust God. That means, you know, what is faith? See, that's where, you know, people try to build up their faith. But, you know, really, the faith is going to be there naturally without any effort if you start operating in that way. If you start opening up to the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God directs you, the Holy Spirit directs you and you obey him. And so you just, you know, that spirit of adoption come inside you. You just know that your daddy is there to look after you. And you come to realize the love that he has for you. Hallelujah. And says, you know, the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children or sons of God. Hallelujah. You see, there is the witness inside. I mean, there is no, you are not there making an effort to get the power. And we get an effort to believe God. We have an effort to trust God. It's just that you are in that relationship with the Holy Spirit inside you, guides you and directs you and enable you to feel that way. Hallelujah. See, the Holy Spirit is there directing us. Function one. As we, and he directs us always to do something. He's not there directing us to make us waste our time. Okay, or to just think about ourselves. Generally, you know, it's going to direct us to minister to others. As we minister to others, what happens is that, you know, we grow into this dimension of listening to the Holy Spirit, but doesn't stop there. You see, to minister to others, we cannot do it in our own strength. So there is where, you know, the Holy Spirit, again, okay, first direct us, then as we obey, we activate his power that comes through us and we start working supernaturally. We start ministering in a supernatural way so that his power is manifested. So essentially, you know, first he direct us, you know, like somebody that, you know, turn right, turn left, you know, and backseat driver. That I was talking about last time. And second, you see, but not only that, but he gives us the gas, the power to actually do it that. But we had to learn to listen, learn to respond, and learn to believe. You see, because responding means to believe. Sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit says, you know, go and talk to that person. He said, well, wait a minute, you know, how am I going to say? No, just go and talk to that person. not according to the way you think, but according to what he's going to give you. Doesn't you need to be there, you know, giving a tract and saying, oh, you know, these are the four general laws or whatever it is. That's not going to work because it's, people are different. They don't need to know here the law or the things. You know, they need ministering to what they need. And the Holy Spirit is going to give you that. And then he's going to give you the power to be there to back up what you say. All right. You know, this is the thing, you know, it's not that you do things, it's that the Holy Spirit does things through you. First directs you, then empowers you, then manifests his power and brings it to pass. Hallelujah. See, this is why in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we, because we walk by faith, not by sight. See, we have to walk by faith, not by sight. And we had to learn to do that. And it's not necessarily easy because we tend to fall back on the flesh. All right? And there are two things that we said before that are involved in that. One is to our focus, what we look at, and the other one is what we actually do. And so there is where the big difference comes. Our focus to start with. You see, you remember Martha and Mary, you know, when Jesus went and visited them, Martha was busy and trying to do all the things and serving people, and Jesus rebuked her. She was complaining, well, you see, my sister here is doing nothing, just sitting at your feet. And Jesus rebuked her and said, what she has is really important. You are worried about too many things that are not important. That's my translation. But that's essentially, you know, what he said. And he actually rebuked her. Okay? We often do things that we think need to be done when instead they're not too important. See, we will do much less and spend much more time in doing the things that are really important, that we will need to do less and we get more results. Now, the thing is, you know, and the reason for that is that we cannot do things in our own strength. It's not the physical things that we do. The count are the spiritual or the supernatural things that God can do, the one that counts. I mean, you can be witnesses to somebody all the time for a long time and get nowhere. The Holy Spirit in one shot can get them saved. Amen. Because wasn't you, wasn't your story, was what they needed, and you just touched the spot that makes a difference. But if you are not tuned in the right wavelength, then you're going to bring, it's like you have another station. You know, the message come through and it's not the message they should be hearing. So you have to be tuned in. That's what makes a difference. How do you get tuned in? Well, there is only one way. You see that his feet, the way Mary did it. Okay, but that doesn't mean that you are there, you know, physically sitting at his feet. It means simply that you had to go, well, it says, looking unto Jesus. And we had to look at that a moment and see really what that means in better terms. You know, in Hebrew chapter 12, verse 1, says, therefore, we also, you know, remember, Hebrew chapter 12, to give you a big secret here, comes after Hebrew chapter 11. Well, that's important to realize because it helps us to understand what he's saying here. See, all the scripture, you have to take it into the context. And because there is a chapter beginning, doesn't mean that there is any interruption. There were no chapters at the beginning. Okay? So here it says, therefore, So if it says therefore, means, you know, that what they said before was important. All right? We also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So he's referring to what the witness that was talking about in chapter 11, which were all the, you know, the all the people that worked in by faith. These are not witnesses looking at what we are doing. These are witnessing to us about what God can do. They walk by faith. So they walked about how to walk. They showed us how to walk by believing God, by trusting Him, and getting results by doing that. All right? So, so they were witnessing to us that God and the Word are true. We can trust them. They put their life on the line for what God was saying. They were the direction of the Holy Spirit. So it says, let us lay aside every weight. See, that's something we had to do. It's not the Holy Spirit does it. It's not the same thing that we just finished reading in Romans. We said, you know, you just let the Holy Spirit direct you to remove and all the things of the flesh that are affecting you. All right. Every weight. And the sin which so easily ensnare us. And this is actually the sense, not a sin, but the sin. So it's generally, there is an area in which we are weak, that we which we fall. And generally, that area is because, the reason for that is because there is some not understanding. We do not understand properly certain things. The understanding is limited so that we cannot have faith to act according to God's will. We cannot hear properly what God is saying because we hear it, but we don't believe it because we do not understand it. See, this is where, that's where sin comes all the time from. It comes from unbelief. The not believing what God says, so that we say, oh, but there is a better way, and we follow that way, which is really provided by the enemy. He comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And so, but we are sucked in believing, well, that's better. Oh, this is more profitable. Oh, this is more fun. Oh, this is whatever it is. All right? So which so easily ensnare us. You see, that's why it so easily ensnare us, because we are sucked in without realizing it because of our ignorance, because of our lack of understanding. And so, but we have to always go back and see when there is a difference between what God says and what we think or what we feel. We have to always, even if we don't understand it, choose to start with what God said, because He's smarter than we are. Do you believe that? Yeah. Well, you see, the thing is, it's the moment when we need it that we have to believe it, not when, you know, theoretically is one thing. It's practically, that's where we are tempted. All right? And let us run with endurance the race set before us. See, the endurance component is important. This is not a sprint under meters. This is a marathon. So we keep going. See, we want quick results. We want to get easy solutions. Well, sometimes it's not easy. It takes time. The fact that it takes time doesn't make any difference, because at the end is much better. All right? So the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, that's the thing. Looking unto Jesus, we have to see what that means completely, because there are different aspects of looking unto Jesus. One of them is to, you know, look at Him as an example, you know, as a witness, if you want, of what to do. But also looking at Jesus, Jesus was the Word made flesh. So when we look at to Jesus, you're not just looking at, you know, an image of Jesus, or, you know, something spooky kind of, you know, a vision. No, he's talking about looking at the Word made flesh. See how the word affected his behavior, how the word made a difference in what he was doing and in what the results he was getting. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So as you go to the word, as you go and see what Jesus did with the word, then that is going to produce faith in you. It's the author and finisher. You see, it's going to perfect it. And you just have to keep looking because we need perfection. We need to be perfected. We need to improve. We need to figure out the things that we are lacking yet. Okay? So, continues here. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. See, the thing is, we don't, you know, that we had to learn, one thing that we had to learn from Jesus is not to look at now, but to eat the result that you're going to get. See, he looked at the joy that was coming after what he went through. And he went through hell, literally, for us. So we can learn that we sometimes have to toughen up. And instead of complaining, let the Holy Spirit direct us so that we know the end of the story. We know what we are going to get. And from that knowledge, we get strength to go through the moments that are tough. Victory is ours. It may require a bit of work to get there. Hallelujah. And sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, you know, he just got as high as you can get. And really what he did for us is for us to sit him together with him in heavenly places. That place is our place too. So when we understand and realize that, you know, we had to come to the conclusion that it doesn't matter how much it costs down here. The thing that we are going to get is far superior to anything that we can ever think. Hallelujah. But we had to develop the endurance. I mean, we had to not to be giver uppers. We had to keep going when we need to keep going. Hallelujah. I'm not going to go into, you know, I'm going to read from Mark chapter 4, verse 19. It gives you the secret. You know, all the secrets that are in the Bible, they're not really secret in the point of view that you cannot know them. They are secret for most of the people. But they're not, they shouldn't be secret for us because they are there and they're revealed to us. Amen. The Holy Spirit reveals to us the truth and the secret of the, you know, God's mysteries, says. Because they are not mysteries for us. They are knowledge that we should go and receive and use because that's the key to the kingdom. Okay? So it says here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Mark. The idea is this, you know, this is the parable of the sower. And he's talking about, you know, the sower sowed the seed in many places, and what he got most of the time is zilch. He didn't get anything except for one kiss. But even in that case, there were things that was an effect. So it says here in verse 19, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire of other things entering in choke the word. So you see, you can look at Jesus, but when these other things are affecting you, the word is going to be choked. Actually, you know, the Greek there could be translated drowned. You know, it's like, you know, you get underwater and it doesn't live anymore. And you see, we can see the words there are important because we have to be aware of these things. The cares of this world. Actually, you know, instead of cares, the closer translation will be distractions. We get caught up and distracted by all the busyness that is in the world. So you see how even, you know, a period like this part of the year, you know, everybody's busy doing everything, when instead they should be concentrating on building themselves up, okay, to get results. The deceitfulness of riches really is the materialistic things that the people go after. Okay, thinking that that's going to resolve anything. That's not going to resolve anything. They are deceitful. And finally, the desires of other things, which is really, you know, the last that was talking in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 there. You know, they take us away. Okay. But these are the one sown on good ground. See, the good ground is the people that have done work in themselves and are dealing with the care of the world, the deceitful riches, and the desires. They are dealt with the problem that are interfering with the word. Those are the things that you have to deal with, and you have to realize that. But to do that, you have to spend the time in the word, and you have to spend the time realizing when other things are interfering what was going on inside you. Okay, so they remove these other things, and those are the one that hear the word, accept it. In Matthew, usually it was and understands that it's the same thing. I mean, to accept it, you have to understand; otherwise, it doesn't work. And bear fruit, some 34, some 50, 60, and some 100. So the idea is the degree that the production is depends on the soil. The more these other interference are removed, the more the soil is good and it produces the fruit because, you know, there is the saying, the word is the word. And all the power of the word is there. Is what, you know, if there is a bit of choking, then you get only 60%. If the choking is a bit more, then you get 30%. If the choking is too much, it's gone. Okay? So the idea is that we have to realize ourselves. Okay? Are we getting results? What kind of results are we getting? How much of the power of God is working in your life? Are you born again and spirit-filled? Yeah. How much power of God is working in your life? It's manifested. See, the degree in which you get a manifestation is determined by the degree in which you have dealt with those three things there. God is not holding back anything from you. You are not letting it through because the word is choked. So the idea is very simple. See the results you get. And then determine, no, I had to deal with these issues and I had to remove some of the things that are interfering. It's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, you don't need to go to God and say, God, please give me more power. Oh, give me a breakthrough. You got all the breakthroughs that you can ever dream of. You have everything that you need for life and godliness. You don't need any breakthroughs. You need to clean up the house.
Amen.
Remove the hindrances in the soil of your soul. And then the power is going to be there because you already have it. Amen. It's just trapped inside there and it wants to get out so badly. But the distractions... Hello? So we, you know, it's ridiculous. These people go around, you know, asking God to do all these things. Oh, please, you know, clean my heart. Well, God cannot clean your heart. You had to choose to remove some stuff that shouldn't be there. And the Holy Spirit is empowering you to do that. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Let me see the time here. Okay. Let me go a moment on a side here a moment and take one of the events that took in Jesus' ministry with the woman with the issue of blood. That is a manifestation that applies to us for the next 2-3 weeks as we want to do communion. There is something there that shows us the part we play in receiving from God. Okay? Especially something like the communion. So let's Mark chapter 5, verse 25. 10 minutes? I don't know. Let's see. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and have suffered many things from many physicians. She has spent all that she had and was not better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, I want to stress that, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I only touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude throwing to you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole thing, the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, this is an interesting story, possibly one of the most interesting miracles in the gospel. Because, you know, Jesus absolutely, you can see that Jesus had absolutely nothing to do with the healing. Okay? He wasn't the one, wasn't his faith, wasn't he? The only thing he felt was the power had gone out of him. That's the only thing he felt. Okay? And it's even surprising he even felt that because, you know, was pushed around by everybody. So, you know, must really. So the idea that. And this woman, by her decision, had the power to move the Holy Spirit. I have to say that again. See, the Holy Spirit was controlled by the decision that this woman made. She wasn't born again. She wasn't spirit-filled. She just made the decision. Says, if I just touch. And I mean, this was not even a scriptural decision. I mean, where do you see any place that says, you know, touch somebody's garment and you got to get healed? So, I mean, she completely, out of a decision that she made by her own thinking, that was actually a thinking of somebody that would even know God, didn't even know God, he was able to move the Holy Spirit and receive the healing. And the only things he was based himself, herself on, was only one thing. I'm going to read it again because you need to. When she heard about Jesus. I mean, she wasn't there meditating for 3 weeks or 3 years or whatever. She just heard about what Jesus was doing and she believed. And she made a decision that, you know, the other one get it, I'm going to get it too. The other one, Jesus prayed for them, I'm going to get it myself. Can you see the implications for us? I mean, if she did it that way, shouldn't we, that we have read all the scripture, that we know all the theory about the healing and we know everything, shouldn't we, should be a piece of cake? Hello? Are you following me? So, you know, what's wrong with us? All right? We had to just trust God. This woman just trusted what they told her. We have so much more evidence, so much more witnessing to us of what God can do, so much better understanding. We have the Holy Spirit inside us all the time. We don't need to go to Jerusalem or whatever he was there to be able to touch him. We don't need to do anything. Hallelujah. So you see what, see, communion, this leads to there, okay? You see that? Communion is the time when we essentially deal with the physical thing as a point of contact with Jesus. Both, you know, in the physical and even in the understanding, the spiritual component, and Jesus on purpose left communion with us so that we could take advantage of that. And if you read on what's explained about communion, you see that this is actually what was the purpose of it. So that we can receive healing. And at the beginning of Christianity, people, there were no healing services. They just had communion and they got healed. Or not healed. Depending on what they were doing, how they were doing it. And that's explained too. So we have to understand that when we do communion the right way, we should be healed. And it's not for mature Christians. It's for carnal Christians. Because if you are a mature Christian, you don't need to take communion, you just receive it by faith. Hello? You see, the idea is that, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about this. Huh? And 1 Corinthians was written for a carnal church. The whole thing, it says, chapter 3, it just says it very clearly. You are carnal because, and he explains all the reason why they were carnal. And at the end, he had to tell them, you know, take communion the right way because otherwise it doesn't work. Right? But we had to, no, I understand. You see, and our understanding is critical. We had to understand to be able to appropriate. We had to understand to be so that we can exercise our faith. And we had to exercise our faith to receive. Now, what I want, okay? You read this Mark. Just read all of them because they saw in Mark, Matthew, you know, there are three versions of this story. Mark, Matthew and Luke, just read them through. You think about it, meditate this week on it. Okay, see the way it worked there. See the part that this woman played. Okay, and realize the decision that you had to make. I mean, I want you to make a decision. If you're sick, if you're anything, or any other problem you have, okay, when you come and take communion, but before you take communion, this woman said, for she said, if I only take communion. All right? In the right way, I shall be healed. And you start setting yourself up for that. So that at that moment, and we are going to talk, we have to talk more about this. But we know this is a starting point. You start thinking about and start setting yourself up for it, just like this woman did. Okay? See, we want God to heal us when he has healed us already. By his stripes we were healed. We had to take it now. Right? So you take it by first saying something. See, acting on the word, The word said, by stripes I was healed. I act on it and I say, when I take my communion, I say, I'm healed. Are you still there? You see why I want to take enough time for you to be set. And then after, you know, when you come, you see, you have to set yourself. And this is not just a question of setting. You have to stay there. All right? The point is, that's the beginning. So I let you a week to work on it. And we are going to expand on this next week. And then we see where we get to. I think it will go the following week. But I give you 2 weeks, really, to beef it up. Amen? I mean, I want to see miracles coming out of our communion service. Not just, this is not a ceremony. This is God and us working things together. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer. Did you get anything today? All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me see you. Well, we think we should do a little confession together. It's always good. Praise the Lord. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for sending Jesus to show us how to relate to you, to help us to receive the Holy Spirit, to minister to us in all the areas of our life. There is nothing that we need today if you are born again and spirit-filled, because in our spirit we have received everything. And now, Lord, we are going to receive it even in the flesh. We thank you that you have done everything that was needed. And I receive it now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I thank you and I praise you that I can receive, because nothing can stop me in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.